This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
Bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, let's hear God's message. Please open your King James Bibles to Psalm 137, where we left off last time. Psalm 137, verse 1. Now, just before we begin this teaching, I have a great praise report. One of our radio family members who listens faithfully, Sonny Harper, had a massive heart attack day before yesterday and was taken into surgery. I just got off the phone praying with him. He is just fine. To God be the glory. And Sonny, the only regret Sonny had, he says, I was in the hospital and didn't get to hear your radio program Saturday. So, Sonny, you'll be able to hear this. This one, and your heart is fixed, my dear friend. Your heart is fixed in Jesus' name. We give God the glory. Yes. Another praise report. This morning I was so sick I almost died when I got up this morning, and so of course I did what I do for you. I anointed myself with oil and prayed for myself. I did not feel better, but see, faith is an act. So I got up and milked the cows and fed the chickens like I have to do every morning, and prayed to God and did and vacuumed and cleaned and studied and prayed and for everybody in the world. And finally, I got the strength to stand before you now. So to God be the glory. Faith is an act. Once you pray, you get up and act like you're healed. That's what I did, so that's why I'm before you. To God be the glory. Now let's everybody give God a hand. Come alive, body. Yay! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, now 137 is entitled Israel's Deliverance from Babylon. Now we do know that two of the tribes of Israel, the house of Judah, had been captured by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And many scholars believe that this psalm was written post the Babylonian captivity. However, there were other captivities. However, the word Babylon means confusion. Now, so who is Israel? Well, we know that the house of Judah, two of the tribes, are back in the land of Israel for the most part. The king line of Judah is the Queen of England there. The 10 tribes are separated from the two tribes, and they're called the House of Israel. And they migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled Britain, came across the ocean, settled Canada, and these United States. So this would be the larger bulk, the House of Israel. See, they are split. There are 12 tribes, but they are split. So we might say America's deliverance from Babylon. America is now captured in Babylon. Babylon represents mystery Babylon, the lies of Satan. We are now in captivity. Now we're going to find tonight that some of you don't know that even enough to weep, because you're so in captivity of yourself that you don't know anything else. Well, wake up, America. We're not free anymore. As Dorothy said in The Wizard of Oz, Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Psalm 137, 1. By the rivers of Babylon we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion.
Now, if God does not intervene in America, probably as soon as a year from now, you will not be able to say Jesus or come to this Bible study. And then you're going to wish you had come to church. You see, you don't miss the water till the well runs dry, as my mother used to say.
2, we hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof.
You've heard the song, we hung our harps on the weeping willow tree. One thing about God's elect, we play our instruments and we sing. It is a part of the true elect of God. We did it in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6. Job, do you remember when the sons of God, the children of God minus the flesh, sang and danced before you? But there was no mirth in our heart to sing. Right now, there's a sad song over America. It's difficult to sing a happy song when you're in captivity and when you know it and when most everybody doesn't know it.
3, for they are they that carried us away, captive, required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth. Sing us one of the songs of Zion.
Those people who captured us, they say, they wanted us to sing songs. You see, their captors knew that a singing slave works better. You've heard whistle while you work. As a little girl, I saw my farmer who in his earlier years, my daddy who was a farmer in his earlier years, he was overseeing workers and they would sing and sing and sing as they work and it went faster. You've heard of the Volga boat song. The Russians would be just so sad and in bondage, but all together they would say, yo-ho, heave-ho. So we said we could not sing. We were so sad. We were not free anymore. We could no longer say Jesus. We could no longer go to Trumpet of Truth.
4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?
Strange, a perverted land, an irreverent land. In Leviticus chapter 10, Aaron's two priests, Nadab and Abihu, offered strange fire to God, as well as Eli's two sons later on. Perverted, profane. Right now, we're in a strange land. It used to be that things were wholesome. Did you know that people used to write thank you letters? I taught manners and put them and wrote a thank you to people when they did something nice for them. You almost never get a thank you note, do you? Never, never. I marvel how profane, how irreverent we are. And we cannot say Jesus anymore. We're in a strange land.
5, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning.
In the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Hebrew Bible, it says, let my right hand be forgotten. So we say, even though we're in captivity and we're not free anymore and we now are under Sharia law where we cannot worship God and we cannot be free, this is what's going to happen to us except God deliver us, you know. It says, even then, if I would forget God, Jerusalem represents where God is. If I could forget Jesus, if I could get going to church, if I could forget his Bible, let me forget the back of my hand. For I remember Jesus. I remember going to church and hearing the pure word of God. I know it like I know the back of my hand.
6, if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy.
Now remember to the psalmist here, Jerusalem was the place where God is. And so see, America was a Christian land. And wherever the word of God is in the name of Jesus taught, book, chapter, verse, and line, there is God's presence. God is presence here. So we can say in a sense this is Jerusalem. But during the reign of the Antichrist, it'll really be a captivity then. And he's not cutting your heads off. It's just that no more will the real Jesus be the Lord. And we're going to look forward to the seventh trump when the chief cornerstone will come and set his feet in Jerusalem. That will be Jesus coming back after the Antichrist reign.
7, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem.
Edom is Esau, says the Bible in the book of Genesis, and Edom in the Hebrew manuscripts is Rush by the Volga, Russia. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, I taught that not too long ago, chapters 38 and 39, it tells of a battle of Haman Gog when Russia, Esau is Edom, is coming against Jacob. But remember, Jacob's divided into two tribes, house of Judah and house of Israel. Jacob's coming against Esau. Saul's coming against Jacob. So we know that the Bible tells us that Edom, Russia, is going to go in partnership with Mount Seir, the Kenites, like Aran. Kenites are the offspring of Cain, and Cain is the child of the devil, literally in the garden. They're going to get together, the Bible says, and come against Israel. I tell you, as a woman of God, we bought Alaska from Russia. Haven't you noticed Russia just keeps reclaiming its territory? We are the house of Israel. They are coming against us. All of you just sleep on, sweet Charlie. I'll tell you, looks to me like you'd be over here Wednesday night on your face praying with us.
Who said, raise it, raise it.
Destroy it, destroy it. Well, what does Mount Seir say, Iran say? He says, death to America, death to America. You know what they say? They say, let's put the house of Judah in Jerusalem out into the sea. They're the little Satan. And let's take over and make them bow to Allah, the big Satan, America. You do not know that you're in captivity, do you, America? And when you finish this, you'll go back and sit in front of your television set and have some fun. And you still won't know. You do not know that you're in captivity. All the people perish for lack of knowledge. When you know your enemy and know his method of operation, we have power over him. But we are fighters. We ought to fight. Why are you sitting there till you die?
Even to the foundation thereof. Eight, O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed. Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us.
Now remember, the title of this is Israel's Deliverance from Babylon. Babylon, the lie, captivity, and Satan's coming back with all of his lies. In Revelation chapter 18, he gives us an allegory, a picture of a woman. She is dressed in scarlet and purple, and she sits on a beast above many waters. And she says, I sit a queen, I am no widow. The woman is the church, Christians, deceived by the soon coming Antichrist, who will call himself God's Savior, look like him, act like him, do signs and wonders, say peace and safety. The beast is the second beast of Revelation, the Antichrist, who is the devil with his Jesus costume on. Upon many waters, Revelation 17, the waters are the people. She's wearing scarlet and purple because that is the clothing of royalty. Because she thinks she's just married the king. Remember, Jesus is coming back and there's going to be a marriage. But the fake bridegroom comes first. So there she sits at the sea body of Christ. He calls her a harlot, a whore. God relates idolatry with adultery. And she says, I sit a queen. I just married Jesus. I'm no widow. Yes, Jesus died over 2,000 years ago, but it's coming back for marriage. But she says, I just remarried him. Oh, she's deceived. That's half of the body of Christ. Five are wise and five are foolish. Five have no oil in their lamps, no truth, no word, deceived. And there she sits. What will happen to her? It says her reward shall be double. She shall burn with fire. She shall receive double reward. Now, in Revelation 22, when the real Jesus comes, after the Antichrist finishes his thing. Jesus is coming in the sky and every eye shall see him. And it says he's bringing rewards with him. He's coming right here, put his feet right here, staying right here. If you fly out, you've missed Jesus. See, that's what the devil's telling you there. That fly thing is the devil's gospel. And it's been preached, being preached in the Christian church to deceive you. Did you think he was going to give up without a fight? You know, when you're a little child, your daddy went away and he came back from his trip and he had you a tricycle or a teddy bear or a doll or a pair of shoes or something. Jesus is coming back and bringing rewards with him. Mystery harlot shall burn in the lake of fire, says Revelation 18. Go and read it. It's interesting.
And happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones.
Now everybody scratches their head on this when you say, well, how can you be happy even if the heathen take the little children and dash them against the stone? That's not what it means. The little ones means God's people deceived. deceived, that woman. The woman doesn't mean a woman. It means men, women, boys, and girls are going to worship the devil, deceived. The stone there means the rock, Jesus, the monumental stone, the rock of ages. The Bible tells us that Jesus will become a stumbling block to those who are deceived, the Christians deceived, who will spiritually be in bed with Antichrist when the real Jesus comes. Because, see, then they won't be looking for Jesus. Remember, it says that Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. When does the thief come? When you don't expect him. If you've already married the first bridegroom thinking you're a queen and a widow thinking it's Jesus, you won't be looking for him.
Psalm 138, a Psalm of David, verse 1.
Now, thank goodness we get back to David. It is believed that the prior one was written by King Hezekiah, but it does not really tell us that. Now, this one is entitled, A Praise to Yahweh by David. We learned last time that Yahweh is one of the sacred names of the Lord. Every time you see L-O-R-D in the Bible, it is the sacred name of God. It is not Jehovah. It is not Yahweh. You don't go to hell for saying that, but if you're going to really marry the king and be a queen and no widow, you want to know your husband's name, Yahweh. Let's say it. Yahweh. There you go. David had so much to praise God for. He'd been delivered from King Saul and from his son Absalom and from the Philistines. And God had promised David, he said, I will build you a house, David. There will always be someone on the sit on the throne of David until he whose right it is to sit upon it comes, meaning Jesus. So David was so grateful. And when the Antichrist comes, we are going to praise our God that our eyes have been opened, that God loved us enough to put us before someone who told us the fake one comes first. We will praise him that we are not deceived. You do not be deceived.
I will praise thee with my whole heart.
Complete heart.
Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee.
The gods, there is a little g, Elohim. It means leaders and people. It's not talking about God, the creator. Now, when the real Jesus comes, that very small group that will not be deceived, called the elect, the very elect here at the end time, the Zadok, chosen from before the foundation of the earth, will not be deceived. We're the only ones that will be able to gather around Jesus, right around him, and we will praise him.
Verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth.
David praises him for his truth. John 17:17. I just said it. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Now, in the Millennium Temple, when Jesus comes, he's going to set up his throne right there, and the Zadok, the elect, will teach during that 1,000 years. We'll all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, into our spiritual bodies. But that doesn't mean you're saved, okay? But we do know that Ezekiel says there's a villa there for David.
For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name.
Hallelujah. His name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Before there was ever flesh, before there was ever a body, and he was called Jesus, before there was ever a book called the Biblion, the Bible, there was the Word. The Word is God. Now, wherever you go to worship God, the most important thing is the Word of God. You must never go there to ask the preacher to hurry up so you can tell them your troubles. Will you please stop teaching the Bible so I can talk about me? See, I know that. I know that happens. And you want to go because the Word of God is the most important thing you will ever have in your whole life. Jesus is the living Word, and he put it in a book. The Word of God will help you overcome your addictions. The Word of God will tell you what to do about your job, make your decisions, your work, your money. The Word of God will get you safely through. The Word is the voice of God, and he guides you, exalted above all. Hallelujah. And you know, in that millennium time, it says his word shall cover the earth as the waters that cover the sea. Hallelujah.
3, in the day when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengtheneth me with strength in my soul.
David says, when I cried to you and there was no way out, you helped me, and he will help you. He is closer to you than hands are breathing. Cry unto him, wail unto him, call unto him, and he will hear you.
For all the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord.
Every knee shall bow, and every tongue, every leader on this planet will say, Jesus is Lord. That does not mean they are saved.
When they hear the words of thy mouth, five, yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord.
The in the ways is not right, not really correct in English. It says of the ways. Now, what's the way? Jesus is the way, and he's the word. So we sing of the word. That is why, as I'm not just a minister of the word, I'm a minister of music. As a minister of music, I always choose songs that have the word of God in them. You say, where do you get that? I get it from the Bible. We do the Bible here. You're supposed to sing the Bible. Didn't you know that?
For great is the glory of the Lord.
Glory, his Shekinah presence. And we shall see him, and every eye shall see him. And his head and his hair white as wool, as white as snow. And his eyes as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burn in his furnace. And his voice is a sound of many waters. And his countenance is as a sun shineth in his strength. Come, Lord Jesus.
Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect to the lowly.
Right now he sits on the right hand of the majesty of God, but he's going to descend through the clouds with his entourage to put his feet on this lowly earth, and here he will stay forever.
But the proud he knoweth afar off.
In Proverbs 6, God names six things that God hates, yea, seven are an abomination to him, and one is a proud and haughty look. It was pride that got us into this trouble anyway. Lucifer in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, first earth age, was so proud, he said, I'm so great, I will be God. And that's what brought sin into the equation. And so all of the proud who do not repent of their sins, so proud that they cannot accept Jesus, will walk into the lake of fire. They'll be far off into the lake of fire from God.
Heaven, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me.
Now this is trouble, is Jacob's trouble. The Bible calls this Jacob's trouble. This will be during the Antichrist will actually be here, and he will be the God of the whole earth, and half of the body of Christ will call him God. And though we're in the midst of that, we still know that though I walk in the midst of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me.
Then the elect will be delivered up to Antichrist, the very few of us, the 7,000 alive on planet Earth. It's a perfect spiritual number there. And when we are delivered up, we are to allow Holy Spirit to speak through us. That's the only time you don't study or premeditate. And whatever he says to us, the whole world will hear in their own language. And Jesus says, and then the gospel shall be heard. And then the right hand of God shall come. Hallelujah. And Jesus will save us. Praise ye the Lord.
8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me.
Perfect means he will complete that. You're eventually going to be complete. If you don't give up, and if you fall off before you get to be with him, you're going to have to be just like Jesus. How about that? We're being conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus. All of the greens got to be cut off.
Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. forsake not the work of thine own hands.
The Bible says you, Christian, are God's workmanship, and we're just about to find how he had a book and had all of your members and everything about you written, just as the sperm and the egg met of your mama and your daddy. You're his workmanship, and he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. If you feel far away from him, you're the one who moved. Repent. Get back. Be holy. You're to be holy people. You're to be pure people. You're to be obedient people. And you are not ever in your life to misrepresent Jesus. He is alive. He's alive. He's alive.
Psalm 139, to the chief musician, a psalm of David.
The chief musician is Jesus, who has the victory, to Jesus, who gives the victory. Now, the title of this one is Deliverance from Self, from Self-Centeredness, from Selfishness, from Me, Myself, and I. The most miserable Christians in this world are those who have themselves on the throne. Oh, I love Jesus, but it is me, me, my job, my life, my me. When you get off the throne and die to yourself, you will be the happiest, freest person there ever was. You see, it is self is why you're in your miserable flesh body now. Self is why you got that long face right now. It happened in the world that then was. 2 Peter 3:6. Lucifer said, I'm so great, I'm so beautiful, I'm so anointed, I'm such a great position, I will be God. He fell in love with himself and brought sin into the equation. And most of God's children were deceived by him, only that tiny little bit. We were in a spiritual bodies. Remember, when you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. And it was self-centeredness. America, oh Lord God, yes, it's a sin of the abortions. Yes, the homosexuality is a sin. Yes, the greed is sin. The greatest sin of us, America, the baby boomers have raised a bunch of people who look for themselves. It is all about themselves. They would never have a life of honor to give their lives away for Jesus to suffer. It's all about themselves. Not one, most of them don't even vote. My God, have mercy. Even from the White House, it's all about me. Look, it's out picturing what we are out pictures, the selfie. That is the greatest sin of America, the sin of self. Deliverance from self. Your misery is because all you care about is you. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, that as I live for others, I might live for thee. Oh, you want to be free? Let yourself go and let Jesus take over.
O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me.
Search means you have examined me intimately. You have turned me inside out and looked at all my understitching.
2. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising.
You know my ups and my downs.
Thou understandest my thought afar off.
He knows every thought you ever think.
3. Thou compassest my path and my lying down.
Compasses is so interesting in the Hebrew manuscripts. It reads winnow. Thou winnowest me. You say, well, what is that? He scrutinizes you. David uses the example of wheat harvesting. You would take the stalk of wheat, and the pure, pure healthy wheat is covered by a husk. It's the chaff. I mean, that's the self. And the chaff is totally, absolutely worthless. But underneath that chaff, there's that pure wheat. So they take it down to the threshing floor, and they take a pole and they beat it with a pestle. Yep, beating. And it kind of loosens up the husk. And then they pick up the wheat. The husk is still attached, but it's loosed. I'm telling you, those troubles are your greatest blessing. Then they take a fan, and a winnowing fan, and they blow it. And very easily, the chaff goes into the wind, gone with the wind, and there remains the pure wheat. I dare you tonight on your bed, in your bed, ask God to winnow you. You're no good until you've been winnowed, beaten to a pulp, and that everything about your life that anyone could ever see would be that you live by faith It's not something you say. Jesus isn't something you say. It's someone who lives in you. May he winnow you. Then we'll be strong soldiers of the cross. We won't live for ourselves. We'll complete our purpose and make our Savior proud.
And art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together.
Jesus says, by thy words thou shalt be condemned, by thy words thou shalt be justified. The Bible says thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Proverbs says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. He hears what we say, and he gives us what we say. Well, what are you saying? What are you saying? You know, the test of a true elect Christian is when nobody's looking, what you are looking at, what you're reading, what you're hearing, what you're saying, what you're thinking, and what you're doing. Is it pure? Is it holy? Is it praiseworthy?
Why, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Think, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it.
Now, the first few verses that we've been studying here in this chapter, you might call them omniscient. It's a description of God, omniscient. Want to say that word, omniscient? It means all-knowing. God knows everything about everything. There is not one thing he does not know. Our modern technology is pioneer, way back there to him. He knows every single thing.
Heaven, whither shall I go from thy spirit?
Now we're going to find that he is omnipresent. He is everywhere, all at the same time. There's no place you can go and hide from him. He sees you.
Oh, whither shall I flee from thy presence? 8, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there.
When you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you're saved, you're with him.
If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there.
My mother used to say to me, if you make your bed in hell, you have to lie in it. Many of you have made your bed in hell. You made wrong choices. You did not listen to God's word. You listened to yourself. You listened to the chaff. And there you are in all of your troubles. And you went the wrong way. And you're miserable and you're in hell. But let me encourage you, dear ones. He's there. Call on him. He'll either get you out or he'll strengthen you to bear it.
9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell at the uttermost parts of the sea.
Uttermost parts means the western parts. He uses an analogy. If I could be a bird and could fly with the rising of the sun from the east and follow the sun all the way to the west, the Lord would still be there. He's from the east to the west.
10, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me.
Hold me, hold you in possession. Dear Christian, why are you trying to own yourself? You are bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. Call him Master, not just Savior. You belong to him. Let him rule over you. He's a good slave master. Paul says, I'm a bond slave with Jesus. See, the slave is really happier because the master tells him what to do. And then you don't have to make those bad decisions.
11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me.
If I hide behind closed doors, if I make a treaty and don't let Congress read it, if I do all kinds of peace treaties and all kinds of things and nobody's seeing me in the dark here, he sees in the dark. There's an all-seeing eye watching you.
Even the night shall be light about me.
Revelation 21 says, in the eternal heaven on earth, we will need no need of the sun or the moon, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof.
Well, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both the light to thee. 13, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb.
Now this is interesting. Reins here means kidneys. Now what he's saying here, that when your daddy's sperm met your mother's egg at that very moment, you were with God in a spirit body. He took you. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb, Jeremiah 1. And he put you there and knew all about you. It means he formed you right there. Now, Jeremiah chapter 1, God says, Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. I formed you in your mother's womb, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. He knew you before. Now, we're about to find out that he's an architect, and he had a book with everything about what you were supposed to be like, and he had it all written. The life in the flesh begins at that very second that the sperm meets the egg on earth.
14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
And just that little moment, just that moment between the sperm and the egg, and there you are, and 9 months later, look at you, cute little baby.
15, my substance was not hid from thee. I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth.
Lowest part of the earth, my mother's womb, her lower parts there. There is the pregnant mother sits and has tea and goes to a concert and goes to church, all the while God was forming you, working on you. It looked secret. There's something going on as soon as that conception takes place, and God is doing it.
16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them.
Now what God did when your daddy and your mama, just that moment, okay, he chose that. It was your time. He had a book and a page, an architectural design about you. In continuance, mean he said, at a certain period of this 9 months time, the right leg shall be formed. Now this one will have brown eyes, and this one will have blonde hair and blue eyes. This one will be so tall. He made your fingerprints different from anybody else. He put the DNA in you. And he put your talents and giftings in there, and he knew the purposes and plans he had for you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now for those of you who keep saying that you can't do anything for God, he just told you, you're his workmanship. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. So repent of whatever you've messed up your life. And today, give it all to Jesus. Just give your life. Let him rule and reign and live for him forever and make him proud of you. Make him proud of that design he made and had in his book about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deliverance from self. Well, it's time now for mystery moment. Paul tells us to learn the mystery of God. And we know that Jesus comes at the last trump out, the seventh trump action. soon and very soon, it could be most any time, we're ready, just about, the sixth trump, the Antichrist, will come in the sky pretending to be Jesus with his fallen angels, and the whole world will worship him and have the body of Christ. But right now, we're in the fifth trump and the fifth seal. It is a time of learning, and so Joel says, blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. So may we hear the fifth trumpet of truth, please. Question number one. Dear Sherry Trumpet, does God really pay attention to our prayers? Absolutely. Revelation says he puts them in a bottle and he saves them. And he looks at them and he says, let's see, Susie's prayer should be answered on the 30th of the month of the last month of next year. So he files the bottle there. And when that appointed time comes, he picks up the bottle with your prayer and pours it back in answer. Wait on the Lord. Absolutely. Okay. Dear Sherry, is there anything in the Word of God that tells us that America will always control our borders? Yes, there is. Genesis 22 verse 17 and Genesis 24 verse 60. Some of you in airspace want to get that down. Genesis 22 17, Genesis 24 60. God says God's people will always control our borders. Now, however, in Isaiah 5, in his love song, he said, because you've let the enemy come in you from me, he said, it looks like your borders are torn down. But see, I believe that God put this in here. He never lies, so that means we control our borders while it doesn't look so. God believes in his elect so much that we will pray and humble and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, and he'll hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, we'll always control our borders. Okay. Dear Sherry, are some people foreordained, predestined? Absolutely. Ephesians 1:4 says, chosen from before the foundation of the earth. Foundation, Greek, is catapult, Satan's rebellion. And Romans 8 says, whom he foreknew, he predestined, and whom he predestined, he justified. This goes back to 2 Peter 3:6, the world that then was the first earth age when Satan rebelled. Now, the word chosen means selected, preferred, favorite, appoint, required. So we know we're all there with God. And the Bible says that so many of God's children in the spirit body followed Satan. But there was one little group that got up and stayed faithful, foreknew, married, stayed married to God. So God had a judgment then, and that little group was predestined and prejudged, found not guilty. Now the word attained there, which is what chosen means in Ephesians 1 verse 4 in the Greek, it means that God would say to the elect, now you don't have to go out because you did not betray me. These others, I'm going to give them a chance to come through one time to accept Jesus in a flesh body. But he said, I do need some people to tell the real truth, but I need people I can trust, because I could just trust you, just defended me. And the word chosen means appoint. It means the elect raise their hand. And so the elect raise their hand. That is what it says in the Greek, appoint. And God says, I choose you. I choose you. I choose you. I choose you, chosen before the foundation of the earth, oracles of light, truth bearers, remnant in every generation, Zadok in the Hebrew, electus in the Greek, right now the very elect. Hallelujah. May you be that. Hallelujah. Now for those of you who are sick, Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Let all of the pain be gone. Let hearts be healed. Let kidneys be healed. Let bones be healed, and muscles and nerve and sickness be gone. Let old people come alive. Let there be life. Let depressed people, for God's sake, turn out and turn upward to you. Oh God, let your church awaken. Awaken the sleeping church. Arise, O church. And live, be made whole in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, for those of you who are lost, please pray this prayer with me and mean it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me of all my sins.
Please forgive me of all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me.
Save me.
I need you.
I need you.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Use me.
Use me.
For your glory.
For your glory.
To enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Now my announcer's about to give you my telephone number, and you might like to call and tell me that you've been healed or that you've been saved. You might just like to call me for a prayer request. You'll get my voicemail, or you might just like to call and tell me you love me and you appreciate my program, for truly I love you. You know why I love you? Because you love studying God's Word. Because you're so enthusiastic. I mean, you just can't wait to get into that Bible. You have a smile on your face, and you got a bound, and you clap, and you shout. You're alive. Oh, our Lord is alive. There is no room for God's people ever again to have a long face, and that's what I love about you, because you know that the Word of God quickens you, and the Word of God shall last forever. Now, for those of you, I want you to always remember this. Stay in God's Word. Remember that you're to go and tell. Your assignment this week is to witness to 5 people, invite them to hear Trumpet of Truth on the radio, and bring them the Trumpet of Truth next Sunday. 5 people per person. And if God gives you more, good for you. Okay. But see, you have to try. Another week passed and you didn't do it. How many more weeks are you going to have? Get up, Christian. Get on with your work. You have a work to do. Now remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. I love you, and I pray that what you have just heard from God's Word will change your life forever. I pray that you will not be a hothouse lily. I will pray that you will be a joyous, beautiful ambassador representing our Lord. God willing, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Man, I want to tell y'all something, man. Man, I'm not going to let these material things get in my way, y'all. I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
Father God, I am clay in your hands. Help me to stay that way through all life's demands. Cause they chip and they nag and they pull at me. And every little thing I make up my mind to be. Like I'ma be a daddy who's in the mix. And I'ma be a husband who stays legit. And I pray that I'm an artist who rises above. The road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me. Though it's only in you that I can truly see that it's a feast full of eyes, a low blow to purpose. And I'm a little kid at a 3-ring circus.
I don't wanna gain the whole world and lose my soul.
Flashes, say they think that it's you, but they don't know that who you are is not what you do. True, we get it twisted when we peek at the charts.
yo, before we part from the start, where's your heart?
You a pimp?
Hustler, tell me what's your title? America has no more stars, now we call them idols. You said idol, while we teach prosperity. The first thing to prosper should be inside me. Not because of 22s on the range, but Christ came in range. We said yes, now we change. Not the same, even though I met a fall. Since I got that call, no more Saul, now I'm all. Yep.
I don't wanna gain the whole world and lose my soul.
I like this.
Let me give the people some sense. I don't wanna gain the whole world and lose my soul. Let me give the people some sense. Don't wanna walk away. Walk away.
Man, Jesus, come on.
Goes down, I won't feel the night. I will keep my head.